Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak on Federal Acquisition. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Each week, my goal is straightforward: to introduce you to key government executives who are tackling significant management challenges and seizing opportunities to lead. To complement these examples of leadership in action, I also highlight the practical, actionable research done by some of the most recognized and respected thought leaders in public management. Whether government leaders or thought leaders, our guests join us for an informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation. Over the last 5 years, I've interviewed more than 300 of them. It is from this rich library that I cull together their insights on federal acquisition. In fiscal year 2012, the federal government acquired $517 billion worth of products through contracts. Contracting expenditures amount to 16% of total federal spending. Purchases range from simple products like office supplies or landscaping to more complex products like advanced weapon systems and program management services. Today, every federal agency operates in an environment where budgets are tightening and the demand for services seems to be increasing. Agencies need to be more effective and more efficient with the resources they have. As the difficulties confronting the federal government becomes increasingly complicated, so too the types of services and goods they need to address these challenges. The federal government is increasingly acquiring products that have qualities that cannot be clearly or easily defined in advance and are difficult to verify after the product or service has been delivered. Most people are familiar with other agency mission support functions like financial management, information technology, or workforce and human capital. But what is acquisition in the federal context? How is it a strategic enabler for government to get its varied missions accomplished? These are very important questions. To explore these questions and more, I've enlisted the aid of former practitioners and Chief Procurement Officer for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, as well as two very insightful researchers who will provide their insights into these questions. From the practitioner's perspective, Dr. Nick Nyack, former DHS Chief Procurement Officer, distinguishes acquisition from procurement and provides a high-level description of federal acquisition.
Yeah, and it's important to sort of know what is the difference between acquisition and procurement. And very simply put, procurement is a subset of acquisition. And acquisition can be defined very simply as three parts to the entire process. The first part is sort of knowing what you want and then defining it into what we call a requirement. The second part is after you have that requirement, then you want to send it out to industry for bids on that, and that begins the procurement process, or the second phase. And then the last phase is presumably if you get a successful contract award, then you begin the program management as well as the contract management and ultimately deliver something of value. So, you know, just for instance, let's just take, for example, something that most people can understand in TSA. You would have the machines that screen folks as they go through the airports. How would that work in the acquisition process? Well, you know, you would have the requirements definition phase. You would go out for procurement for those particular machines. You'd have a competition. You'd have a contract award. It doesn't end there, however. The machines have to be installed in the airports. Life goes on. It has to be tested, and we have to ensure that they work ultimately to create safer airports across the nation.
Whether it is making airports safer or securing the nation's food supply, the ultimate purpose of federal acquisition is to, put simply, support an agency's mission by providing the necessary goods and services for it to meet its mission. Trevor Brown and David Van Slyke, authors of Complex Contracting, Government Purchasing in the Wake of the U.S. Coast Guard's Deep Water Program, place a finer emphasis on this critical mission support function.
So I think most people, when they think of acquisition, think more simply of purchasing, just buying simple stuff like paper clips and copy paper or office supplies. But the reality is that increasingly federal agencies need critical goods and services to be able to perform their core missions. So in the report I wrote for IBM, I highlighted the Black Hawk helicopter in the interdiction of Osama bin Laden and the ultimate taking his body out of the compound. Without the Black Hawk, the mission doesn't succeed. Today, the thing that's probably most on people's mind is the healthcare.gov website. Mm-hmm. In the absence of that website working successfully, the Affordable Care Act doesn't work successfully. Now, you probably don't think about that when you're buying a website. You think, oh, I'm just buying a website. But no, you're buying a critical, integral part of your program. And that's what acquisition is now. It's acquiring essential goods and services to be able to perform basic mission functions inside organizations.
David Vance Light continues and underscores that federal acquisition is a key strategic enabler.
It's really important to be able to get those purchases right. But another key aspect, really, for the listenership of this show is really thinking about being strategic as well. Mm-hmm. And that raises the question of, what are you buying from the market? Mm-hmm. Are you buying just products? Or at times, are you also buying something else, like the ability to do something that the government itself lacks the expertise or capability or the capacity to be able to execute?
While Dr. Nick Nyack, former DHS Chief Procurement Officer, provided a high-level description of federal acquisition, Trevor Brown takes a deeper dive into illustrating the federal acquisition process itself.
So an expert would tell you there are hundreds of steps in this process. I'll break it down simply into three phases. The first is the pre-award phase. That's everything that happens before you buy the product. So that's determining whether you want to make the product internally or you want to go out to market. If you decide you're going to go out to market, that's surveying the market to see what's available. That's meeting with the ultimate consumers of that product within the agency to see what is it they need, which ultimately ends with you, the purchaser, defining what it is you want to the degree that you can. We want it to be a certain size, shape, and do all sorts of different things. Federal contract officials call that the requirements definition portion of the pre-award phase. The second, once you've decided what you want to buy, is the award phase. And you can think of that as the literal transaction. That's putting the RFP out, the request for proposal that describes the product and the way it will be purchased. And then it's meeting with potential vendors, recruiting people. It's almost a sales pitch to the vendors or potential vendors to come forward with proposals. Then it's selecting who's the winner going to be. Then the third phase and final phase is the post-award phase. It's everything that happens now that we've purchased the product. For some kinds of products, the post-award phase is literally just the delivery of, here's your box of paper clips. For other kinds of products, things like information technology systems that take a long time to produce, the post-award phase, once we've selected the vendor, means managing a relationship with the vendor. It's managing a series of relationships and potential relationships, and those are management competencies and requirements.
Federal acquisition doesn't occur in a vacuum. There is a specific regulatory regime that governs acquisition practices, known as the Federal Acquisition Regulations, the FAR. Brown and Van Slyke elaborate on it and the holy trinity of acquiring things in the federal space.
So there's a document called the Federal Acquisition Regulations that basically set the rules on what's permissible in contracting. And one of the things that the FAR does is specify what the goals of federal acquisition are. And buried in there are two sort of approaches to setting the criteria by which we would judge an acquisition or evaluate it. One is what's called best value. And best value is a broader interpretation of what we're getting out of the exchange. And it typically involves three criteria, the sort of holy trinity of contracting. That's cost, mm-hmm. performance, and schedule or delivery. Cost is how much does it cost? Did it come in at the price we expected? Performance, does it do the things we want it to do? And then schedule is did it come in on time? In a best value acquisition, a procurement official is allowed to balance each proposal along those three criteria and make trade-offs of, oh, well, this one's more expensive, its cost is higher, but the quality that we see in the proposal is higher. So one approach is to balance those three criteria. The other approach that's specified in the FAR is called the LPTA approach, which is lowest price, technically acceptable. So all those three criteria are still in play: cost, quality, and schedule. But here the argument is, if we can precisely define the product, we can say as specifically as possible, here are the performance criteria, it's technically acceptable, well, then we're going to focus on price. So we're going to minimize our selection to, does it cost the lowest amount to produce it? So there it's a narrower set of criteria that define why we select one bid over another. And depending on what we're purchasing, it may make more sense to use one or the other. If we're buying copy paper, we use the LPTA approach. That's the guidance of the FAR. Just focus on cost. You can specify the size of the paper, its durability, how many pieces, et cetera. Whereas if we're buying information technology, where we're not so clear what it is that we want, and we've got these competing criteria at play, then you are to pursue the best value approach.
Divergent views abound about the helpfulness and harm of the FAR.
So the FAR is it's a phone book. I've interviewed any number of federal procurement executives, and it's fascinating the kind of divergent views on, is this a good regulatory regime or is this a cumbersome one? One school of thought about the FAR from those who use it to guide their acquisition is that it is Byzantine, overly procedural. It's not clear how to get the information one needs about how to guide procurement. The other view from perhaps the more creative and crafty procurement officials is it's more of a recipe book. You can find what you need in there. And these rules are more suggestive than prescriptive.
Defining the federal acquisition process and describing the regulatory regime that governs this process sets the stage for identifying some of the key challenges facing acquisition within the federal space.
Well, the first is, as I just mentioned, is the variability in the FAR, the regulatory process across federal agencies. On the one hand, this creates flexibility for the agencies, but it does have some diminishment of competition effects in the marketplace. It just makes it harder to sell to the federal government. So there are sort of two things that federal managers can do as they work with the procurement personnel in their agency. One is to take a review of the FAR or the regulations in their agency and see, first off, are there any opportunities to streamline this and make it easier for both the people on our end that engage in the procurement function and then the vendors who sell to us, and then to look how do our regulations stack up to other agencies? Is there any way we can streamline these and make them more similar to other agencies so we expand the marketplace? And so that's one big challenge. A second one that we haven't touched on yet is, and it's huge, and it'll span everything we talk about here, is the state of the procurement workforce. Right. You know, I think there's this belief that when you go to the market and you buy stuff, you don't need people anymore. But the reality is, particularly given both the scale of purchasing that goes on at the federal government and the kinds of things that the federal government buys, you first off need a lot of people to handle those processes, and you need an incredibly well-trained, sophisticated group that understands how they perform their technical function, but do so within the overall management structure of the organization. A third one is that contracting is risky, and depending on the kinds of goods and services, the products that you're buying, some of them are riskier than others. What are the sources of those risks is critical for again, a manager to understand how can they use procurement to achieve mission success.
There is widespread agreement that the federal government's process for acquiring goods and services needs to change to enable agencies to keep up with the rapid pace of technology development. But with more than 1,800 pages of rules and regulations governing the process, there's growing concern that the government cannot truly support innovation without a dramatic simplification of the rules. It's a mistake, some say, to blame this on the FAR. What's missing in the conversation is everything that comes before the RFP, or request for proposal. It's not really a FAR question. It's writing good statements of work, making the use of draft RFPs, and conducting proper market research. So how do federal agencies actually engage the acquisition process? What are agencies doing to enhance their acquisition capabilities? Are there new ways to procure the necessary goods and services for federal agencies? In the next segment, we'll explore these questions and more.